The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse,
the beast.
We're told in the book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan!
Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
Greetings from the heartland of America. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, everybody, and welcome to our humble bunker. We are so glad you're here today and glad that you're not in lockdown.
Yes. Today, November 10th, 2010. Kind of an interesting day, actually.
What does that mean in binary?
Well, we looked it up. 0011010 actually means, depending on how you decipher it, numerically it adds up to 58, which of course is a 13. But if you read it in ASCII code, it translates as colon. So today is Happy Colon Day.
Yes, and colon. Taking care of your colon today.
Now, anyway, an interesting story out of South Florida today. Broward County, one of the nation's largest school districts, on lockdown today.
We're talking really big. It's about 300 schools, over 200,000 students, and everything that I can tell, they were all on lockdown. And it was because a woman called an unnamed radio station, as mm-hmm. of the last time I looked, it was unnamed, a woman called a radio station and said that her husband was going to start shooting. He was mad, and he was going to start shooting. And in one report, and I can't find it verified because it was at a forum, the person at the forum said that he or she, it was anonymous, listened to an online police band source. And I listened to the same source, mm-hmm. but because it was live, I didn't hear this part. And this person said that he or she heard the dispatcher, a female dispatcher, say that the man said one election wasn't enough to, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't have it in front of me. I'll look it up in a minute and give you the actual quote. But talked about how it wasn't enough to get rid of, frankly, it said Jews and others who ran the world, and the Illuminati. The Illuminati was named,
mm-hmm.
and the name of the person was given. And I will not give it because I do not know that that is the name of the person who actually was involved. I only have this source, so that's why I won't give the person's mm-hmm. name. But I find it really – and that was enough, honestly, to get me to start listening to the police band radio. And and I got to tell you, they were all in lockdown. And if what I heard, I started listening at about 1:30, 1:15 this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And as of 3 o'clock, they were still in lockdown.
And it was 3 o'clock Eastern time, and of course, that's GMT minus 5.
And that was about the time that the schools ordinarily would have dismissed. And
right.
that is what they did. They said you have to stay in lockdown until dismissal. There were a few times that the dispatcher was told, go ahead and tell certain schools that they can release. And then the person came back in and said, no, all schools, it was sort of back and forth. I got the feeling that they were making decisions on the fly, and it never became obvious what exactly was going on. Now, there is an article that we link at Instapaper, link to at Instapaper, that says, gives the radio station account, but includes an email, reference to an email that also was received, and I don't know if it was at the radio station or by the police department, but an email that was sent saying not that schools were going to be targeted, but that government buildings were going to be targeted. And yet I could find nothing about government buildings going on lockdown, only the schools.
Schools, including charter schools and public libraries, some 275 buildings, nearly a 250,000 students, faculty, and employees.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people. And based on what I was seeing at Twitter and at various forums, the kids were told you have to stay huddled in the middle of the room, you have to stay away from the windows, and it has to be dark, no lights. Now, an elementary school, you have to stay huddled in the room for hours. Not only do you have to entertain these young kids, but they can't go to the bathroom.
Well, that wouldn't have been worked for me when I was in the first grade. I'll tell you that right now. I was the kid who made the bus stop halfway to the field trip. You know, we're going to the museum. We're halfway there. I have to go, and it was embarrassing. But
Sam says he so relates to that.
Yeah. It was uncomfortable, inconvenient to say the least. But I just wonder if there's. If you have any expertise in this, and I direct this to listeners, if you have any expertise in this, can you please explain the wisdom if there's a threat against a school building, a shooter who says he, or police receive a credible threat against a building like this? What is the sense in locking down the children inside the rooms? Unless schools are being built a lot differently than I remember, there's not really a lot to keep a determined shooter out of a schoolroom. I mean, those are not bulletproof doors.
No, they're not steel doors that I know of.
No, and
they may be fireproof. I don't know. Maybe they are steel doors.
And if the threat is not from a shooter, but for somebody who's wanting to detonate an explosive device, it would seem that keeping the children huddled in one place would simply make the potential death toll even worse. There may be a good reason for this because I don't have any police training or anything like that. So there may be a really good reason for locking down everybody in place so that authorities can conduct their search. But I don't know. My gut reaction is, get the kids, as many of the kids out of there anyway as you can. Now, obviously not every parent is going to be listening to police band radio.
It's difficult to bring the buses back.
It's difficult to bring the buses back, too. So I suppose that's part of it. But, I don't know. It just seems like, everybody stay exactly where you are is tantamount to saying everybody just be a sitting duck until we figure out, where the shooter is or
well,
something.
The threat was so
vague.
Yep. There's the word. And it wasn't even called into the police. Or a news. It was called in to a radio station that morning. And the radio station, as yet unnamed, according to all I can find, called the police and said, here's what how do we know the radio station wasn't lying?
Well, that's an interesting thing, too. This
radio station pulling a stunt? Imagine.
No, I don't think a station would be stupid enough to pull that kind of stunt.
You would hope not. That is an extremely costly and mean-spirited thing to do. But even if did they check it out? Did they say, can we look at your phone log and see who this woman was?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. Presumably the police in Pembroke Pines, Florida, which is near Fort Lauderdale, would have investigated and found the threat credible enough to order the school district or to request the school district, which complied, to lock down all 275 buildings.
Does it seem to you like there are an awful lot of events that are designed to instill fear?
Yes. Yes, in fact, I do. Now,
you and I haven't talked about this before the show, but it does seem that way to me.
Yeah. Now, it's easy to say that, please bear in mind, we're not law enforcement professionals. Neither one of us has law enforcement background. We know some folk in law enforcement, but, this is not something we study or research every day. So I don't know whether this lockdown was a good or bad thing. I do know that there were parents who apparently felt it was a bad idea. They were showing up at the schools wanting to get their children out and were told, no, you'll have to wait.
Well, when I was listening to the police band radio, the dispatcher was relaying an order that the officers on the scenes, and I assume that there were officers at various schools, were told to stay there until 1800 hours.
Yeah, which is
they just left a little while ago.
Yeah, as we record this, it's about 15 minutes past the hour of 6 Eastern time, so they just left a little while ago. So I don't know, but you're right. There do seem to be a number of things out there. And, of course, there was the next day delivery bombing plot, and it seems every day there's another story that comes out. There was another one that came out today. French authorities say that the bomb on the plane headed to Chicago might have exploded over the United States. Well, okay, it may well have, but it seems like we're seeing another story like this every day.
Mm-hmm. The missile on the West Coast.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that in a little more in just a moment. But you know, British authorities a few days ago who said that the bomb that they found at Heathrow was 17 minutes away from exploding. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 17.
Those things have been repeated over and over today.
And this coincides.
CNN, Fox. It doesn't matter what you watch; they're still saying it.
And they're targeting Al Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, or was it ACAP? Is that what they're calling it?
I don't know. That's what I call it.
Yeah, and
AQAP.
And they are pointing a finger at Yemen, just as we, as reported by Debka, filed just a couple of days ago. Station a number of Predator drones inside Yemen. We are expanding our military presence and our military operations in the southern part of the Arabian Peninsula.
We're starting a third war.
It begins
we're engaging
to look that way,
in essentially a third front.
It begins to look that way. Now, Yemen. Excuse me.
I thought, is that me? No, that wasn't me.
Yes, it was my.
It was your pizza.
Symbiote.
Colon.
The semicolon. Yeah.
Oh, honey, your punctuation humor beats them all.
My dad had one after the diverticulitis operation. Anyway, and you have to wonder why Yemen. And it may be that the explanations are absolutely true. Maybe it is the hotbed of Al-Qaeda right there in Yemen. Certainly doesn't seem to be a lot of economic reason to go into Yemen. I mean, they've got oil there, but according to the estimate I read today, they are looking to run out by about the year 2017. So there's not a lot of potential there.
Well, maybe there's a strategic location involved.
Oh, well, to be right there in the Arabian Ocean there at the foot of the Red Sea where the Red Sea narrows before it ends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah, what is it, the Gulf of Aden?
Yeah, yeah. And it's right next door to the Sultanate of Oman, which is an ally. So, yeah, I don't know. We don't want to go too far down the path of tinfoil hatdom, but we just, you know, after so many deceptions from the media, which have later proven to be deceptions, and from the government, you know, not telling us exactly, well, not that they should in the middle of a military operation, but, you know, we just have to learn to try to read between the lines and see who benefits from these sorts of activities.
Do you say lines or lies?
Both. This is being used to justify, the threat of terror in the air, to justify the full body scanners. And now if you opt out, apparently they're getting pretty familiar if you decide to go for the pat down.
Yes,
it's more like the feel up instead of the pat down from what people who are, you know, who've tried to avoid the scanner are reporting. Transportation Safety Authority, I mean, TSA is pretty soon going to stand for terrible sexual abuse when you go through the lines to get on a plane.
It's a good way to put it.
It's nuts. Now, I understand wanting to make sure that these planes are secure, but boy, I'll tell you what, it is really putting a damping effect on demand for airline travel, I would think. I have no desire to fly. Not that I'm afraid of something happening while I'm in the air. I just don't like to go through the prospect of some person I don't know getting as close to me, getting closer to me than I want them to be. Let's put it that way. Look, I've got nothing in the underpants. Can you just trust me on that, please?
No, I'm really sorry, sir. Can't trust you.
Well, anyway, yeah, there do seem to be a lot of stories out there designed to keep the fear level to a point that we will accept these very invasive procedures and rather degrading procedures, in my view.
You know, I'm looking at the map of Yemen.
Mm-hmm.
Yemen. And it is indeed the throat that opens up into the Red Sea area. And mm-hmm. it is a tiny, tiny passage.
Yeah, like the mouth of the Persian Gulf, basically.
It's tinier than that, it looks like. And the countries that are around it are Eritrea, Ethiopia, which is not directly on it, but Djibouti, and Somalia, and just a couple of countries over is Kenya, where you get great coffee.
Yeah.
In fact, a lot of these have great coffee.
That's true.
Oh, please don't mess up the coffee.
I think a lot of Americans would be surprised to know that we have a military command that is dedicated to the continent of Africa.
Yes.
It's like, wait a minute. We don't have any colonies there. Why do we have an African military command?
AFRICOM.
I mean, don't you think if you were just your typical African person, that you'd be just a little cheesed at knowing that this nation on the other side of the world is audacious enough to have a military command dedicated to planning operations on your soil?
Okay, imagine this, people. If you think, if you're thinking, well, why wouldn't we have something like that? We're over there protecting American interests. Imagine ChinaCom.
Yeah.
Coming over here and calling it AmericaCom.
Exactly. We're just here to protect our interests in, your Walmart stores.
Exactly.
Because that's our biggest customer.
And by the way, we did not shoot off that missile. totally didn't do it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, as you mentioned, Sean Osborne of the Northeast Intelligence Network has a good, an excellent article, which we've started, our Instapaper account. You'll find the link to that at PIDradio.com. Just follow the link, and that will take you there. The articles that we go through each day that we think are really interesting, we'll put at Instapaper.com because it's a really convenient way to just, basically you just click
I love
bookmark.
It. There's a little applet or whatever you call them that you pull up into your bookmarks bar, and I just it's read later, and you just click on read later, and it goes boom. Saves it to your account.
And then essentially,
and at your leisure, you have your own newspaper.
Hence the name Instapaper. And we are totally not getting paid to say
no,
this. We just
totally
have found this
not.
To be a really
We
convenient...
just think it's really cool and we want to share it with you.
Well, Sean's article, as we mentioned yesterday, Doug Hagman, who works with Sean at the Northeast Intelligence Network, has heard from sources inside the Pentagon, sources with military connections, sources inside the intelligence community, unnamed for obvious reasons, because this is not supposed to be public, for public consumption. Rumor has it that this was a Chinese missile, and that this was a in response, in Sean's view anyway, or at least he speculates that this was a response to military exercises that the United States held in the Yellow Sea. I mean, that's right off the Chinese coastline.
I remember that, and they were very cheesed about that. They're also very angry with us about the financial war that we're waging between the two countries right now. They don't want to raise their the value of their of the yuan. They want to artificially keep it low, but they're cheesed that we're artificially keeping our interest rates low.
Right. As are a number of other nations, including Germany, Russia, Brazil, and India. But as Sean points out, citing Major General Luo Yuan in his own words from July of this year, quoting now, "First, in terms of security, Chairman Mao Zedong once said, 'We will never allow others to keep snoring beside our beds.'" Interesting way to put that. "If the United States were in China's shoes, would it allow China to stage military exercises near its western and eastern coasts? Just like an old Chinese saying goes, 'Do not do unto others what you do not want others to do unto you.'"
The king of the double negative.
"If the United States does not wish to be treated in a specific way, it should not forcefully sell the way to others." End quote. So perhaps a foreshadowing of what took place the other night off the coast of Los Angeles, and very disturbing. And we reported on this a couple of years ago that a Chinese submarine surfaced suddenly uncomfortably close to the USS Kitty Hawk carrier, if I remember correctly.
Exactly, because they have a submarine that
surprisingly
has totally
quiet.
Silent.
Yeah, it was I'm going to look this up here to see when this incident took place, but it was it caught the Kitty Hawk and its support group really by surprise. In fact, good grief, this was 2 years ago to the day that this was reported, 3 years ago to the day that this was reported by the Daily Mail in the UK. The Kitty Hawk carrier group has about a dozen ships altogether, so the carrier plus another 10 or 11 vessels. And a Chinese submarine popped up right in the middle of this carrier group back in 2007 during a Pacific exercise very close to the USS Kitty Hawk. I mean, that's you're talking 4,500 people on board that ship, and the Chinese submarine undetected, was within range for launching torpedoes or missiles at the carrier. Just sort of like, hello.
You're looking at this article at Time?
This is from the Daily Mail I'm looking at.
Well, I'm looking at the one from Time, mm-hmm. which we linked to at PID News.
Yeah.
So if you went to PID News and typed in, which I did, Chinese submarine, the article popped right up.
Yeah. Well, see, PIDnews.com. That's the place to go for the stuff that's
that's where I go, yeah. Unless I go to Instapaper.
Yeah. So anyway, it is very conceivable that the Chinese could have been that close to the American coast undetected. And interesting that the stories today from the major media were all about, no, that was a contrail, that was a jet, passenger liner, probably nothing to see here, move along.
What they're saying is we cannot believe our own eyes.
Yeah.
We have to depend upon the media mm-hmm. to tell us what we have just witnessed.
Because they're trained in this sort of thing. You and me, we're just bloggers. We don't know what we...
Look,
what we're
they just
at.
Wear jammies.
That's
well,
right.
Yes, I do, but so what?
It doesn't mean we're blind.
Just means you're not comfortable.
Yes. So, yeah, kind of an interesting development. Perhaps a response to our economic policy. Perhaps our response to continued exercises off China's coast.
Mm-hmm.
And that 200 million man army is not doesn't enjoy being poked with a stick repeatedly, apparently.
No, I guess not. Well, what's going on in the world? You know, I was watching Glenn Beck tonight.
Mm, yeah.
I shouldn't watch him.
Your daily dose.
I should not watch him. I just sit there and scream at the screen. I shouldn't do that.
Well,
because he's doing a George Soros thing right now.
Right.
And he's calling Soros the puppet master,
mm-hmm.
which, yeah, I agree.
He's one of
Soros
them.
Soros is one of them. Yes,
right.
Indeed. Oh, let's talk about, the Saudi Arabian prince
mm-hmm.
who has, a share of
Fox News, right?
Exactly. Let's talk about Rupert Murdoch, who controls the media of about 20%, of the world, listens to his media outlets, reads his mm-hmm. media outlets.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just Soros. There are lots of them. So picking out one little person or one little group and saying, that's the one.
Well, exactly. And this is something that, Paul and Philip Collins have talked about a number of times during the discussions we've had over the years. You can't just point a finger at the Freemasons or the Jesuits or the Vatican or, Dominionists or, the neocons. There's no one group that is responsible for all of the world's ills. Well, there is, but it's not the ones that we see with our natural eyes.
It's the supernatural battle.
Exactly. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. And those are the puppet masters. Those are the ones pulling the strings.
And that is why Ephesians 6:12 is the verse that we talk about all the time. It's the very reason we do what we do.
Right.
Because it's so easy to get lost in the Glenn Beck, sort of
the political
hype
stuff, yeah.
And start getting angry at the humans.
Mm-hmm.
They're just the face that is currently being used. And in many ways, these people are dupes of the supernatural of warfare that's going on.
Now, there are some who are willing.
Yes, there are some, but I would say
right.
they are also duped.
Yeah.
They believe that somehow in the end that they are going to be kings and queens,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to rule and get great power.
Right. And that's not the way it goes.
Mm-mm.
No. There was an article that I wrote that just published today at hearkenthewatchman.com. I had been trying to write one a week, and it's just not working out that way. But thankfully, Chad Miles allows me to continue to contribute as time allows.
It's because you write so well.
Well, thank you. But it was inspired by the interview with Nick Bryant the other night about the Franklin scandal. And going back in and rereading the book, and we had dug into the Franklin scandal ourselves several years ago, 5-6 years ago, just because once you start, you know, reading about what took place there in Omaha back in the middle 80s, and that was at a period of time when you were living, or around the time you were living in Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It is so horrific that it's like watching a slow motion car wreck. You can't stop reading it. But it is so disturbing because the children who were so horribly abused, tortured even, by these wealthy and powerful pedophiles who preyed upon them, who used the services of the pimps who supplied these children to them, is heartbreaking. Peter Lavenda interviewed Nick Bryant on a radio, another internet radio program a couple of months ago, and he used the phrase soul shriveling. And ooh. I think that was a very descriptive term, because as you read the things that happen to these children, and then you find that nobody, except for two of the victims, spent a day in jail for what happened to them, it's very easy to despair and say, you know, how long, oh Lord?
Mm-hmm.
You know, God promises us that vengeance is His, and He will repay. In our human scale of time, that's not soon enough. But that's what we have to hold on to. And He anchored His promise with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we know that is coming someday. But those are the people, and some of the stories that the children told indicate that some of their tormentors are willing accomplices. Dupes, as you say, but those who have willingly sold out to the dark side for what they believe is power. And they, in the end, will suffer the greatest disappointment of all. The sad thing is that many of those children who are damaged, who have their lives ripped away from them, will never regain the lives that they might have had.
Well, honey, I'm looking at your article, and it is linked at Instapaper, but you can find it at Hearken the Watchman. It's just hearkenthewatchman.com,
mm-hmm.
and it's plural men, plural watchmen. And it's called Who Stands for the Children. It looks like I can't wait to read it.
Yeah. Well, it was got moved to do it last night, knocked it out in about an hour and a half. So
yeah, well, I was asleep. I've probably been asleep for a long time.
I'm going to talk with William H. Kennedy about the Franklin scandal and about some other aspects that because this is a story that actually popped up again about 5 years ago unexpectedly. And so we'll talk more about that in a couple of weeks. But, the Lord is in control, even though there are times here on planet Earth where it sure doesn't seem like it. You know,
amen.
Why do
so
bad
glad.
Things happen to good people is one of the toughest questions Christians have to answer.
Well, I think the last thing I want to talk about tonight is the rioting that's been taking place today in the UK.
Yeah.
The students have been rioting because their tuition was tripled.
That would make you mad.
That's quite a hike.
It is. The Brits have taken a slightly different approach toward getting their financial house back in order. We talked yesterday about the speech by the chairman of the Dallas Fed, who said that, yeah, for the next 8 months, the Federal Reserve is going to monetize the debt. But then he called for Congress to step up and start tightening the federal budget in order to make this so that this doesn't become a slippery slope that leads to Weimar Republic style or Zimbabwe type hyperinflation. The UK is starting to tighten its belt. And one of the cuts they've made is saying, hey, students, you're going to have to kick in a lot more if you want to, you know, to get a degree. And the kids are not happy with it. And it looked like they were really getting violent, a lot of vandalism.
Well, it looked to me like they were actually attacking a local government building of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
But only about a couple of dozen of them were actually involved in that. It looked like most of them were very, very cheesed, but they weren't, breaking down glass. They were actually banging on glass doors and smashing the windows. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was kind of frightening to watch.
Yeah.
And I thought, my gosh, imagine being the people in that building and imagine that happening here. And I don't think we're very far from that.
Well, that's a very good point and a way to close, just to keep an eye on this, because the civil unrest that comes from these types of social disruptions caused by the profligate spending of the banksters may yet arrive on our shores.
Profligate.
So, yes.
It's a good word.
We're giving drunken sailors a bad name.
We got to go. I hear music.
Until tomorrow, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear, a better day.